GPSA meeting, April 18th, 2011.
All right, seeing that it is 5:31, it is time for us to get underway. Hopefully you've had a chance to discuss Resolution 7 and Resolution 9 with people at your table, because we got a full slate to actually go through today, so we should get straight and started. So we're going to begin with welcome and introduction. And so for that, I am Creston Mansfeld. This is my last meeting as a GPSA president and actually as a GPSA member. And I'm from the Physical Sciences. Tom?
Tom Belcher, Steve Manley, Vice President,
Operations. Let's go around the table. You can introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Diane Garvin, I'm representing Romance Studies. My name is Dr. Ford, and I'm at Scott Lord Boehner, and my last name is Matthew Fagan, and the name
I'm from
Graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Alex
Morning,
representative for Biological Environmental Engineering.
I'm Joe Michelli, I'm the representative for Johnson Cook. Bobby Hartshorn, the outgoing representative for Johnson Cook.
Nancy Tolkien, I'm Brian Buckmeyer. I am the field rep for English and incoming one of the voting reps in the United States.
I'm Forrest Formal
at-large voting
member.
I'm Evan Bartend, the current this year and next year humanities voting representative.
Stephen Ahn, current and next year physical sciences voting representative.
Derek Nyckoff-Evanston, I am a president emeritus of the GPSA, soon to be president emeritus, and the current graduate student representative on board.
I'm Yevgeny Israeli, chemistry and chemical biology department. I'm currently an at-large voting member and going to be a voting member.
I'm Eric Smith, I'm the field rep for the Geneva Experiment Station, and I'm the incoming voting rep, one of them, for the biological
science. I'm Harold Steens, field representative for Science and Technology Studies.
I'm Rob Brinoff, the current field representative for astronomy, and we'll be one of the incoming physical sciences voting.
I'm Ken Hubble, I'm the Dean of Students, representing the Dean of Students, and by the way, I'm also your advisor.
I'm Brenda Wicks, I'm with the graduate school and not your official advisor.
But
here.
I'm Jeff Doyle, I'm here to talk about the calendar.
Ian McKay, field rep for philosophy.
Field rep, city and regional plan.
Hello, I'm Brittany Rosen. I'm the clerk for FA, and I'm a graduating senior.
Good.
I'm Chris Heckman, a voting member for physical sciences this semester.
Well, I'm Mitch, I'm the aerospace representative for Sigma for MAE. Okay.
Amy O'Donnell from the Office of the Assembly.
All right, and with that, we're going to move on into the agenda. We're going to first switch around one item. We're going to actually switch, always, this is something I've repeated year after, well, day after day of this year, is check out the CornellGPSA.com. We're going to switch around for sake of time. The Faculty Senate Ad Hoc Committee on the Academic Calendar Update, so that'll be going right now. And I believe Chris is going
to be up. Yeah, so I was supposed to be joined by two other members of the committee today, but...
Jeff is...
Oh, yes, great, wonderful. I was looking for you. Okay, so for those of you that didn't get a copy of, or haven't read through the operating principles and guidelines for this committee, then I'm passing them around right now. Please go ahead and look at them. We're just going to be talking briefly on some of the major objectives, why we're doing what we're doing, and how we're going about it. So, I'm going to be looking forward to questions at the end, and we would like this to be a discussion. We really want to get feedback on this, and I've already received some really good feedback and emails. I appreciate those that have sent that in. So we'll just jump right to it. I'm on the Faculty Senate as a liaison from this group, and this year one of the largest things that the Faculty Senate is tackling through one of its subcommittee that it's created is looking at the academic calendar and trying to add in breaks and otherwise attenuate sort of stress-inducing corners or just basic properties of the calendar that might make things hard on students. This is really in direct consequence to some of the events that happened last year. And also, we're trying to optimize the current calendar. That is to say, there are a lot of things that have sort of carried over from historical precedents that might not be really what the calendar should be addressing or how it should be structured. So we're looking at trying to tweak some things there, too. The document explains those objectives right at the top of the page. And then there are some restrictions on how we do it. New York State actually has some guidelines on how long a semester is based on how many units a course is. So that is coming into play. For those of you that do the math on this, actually the amount of time that is given to exams is counted as instruction time. I thought that was kind of funny, and you guys, I don't know, maybe you will too. So, also right now there's some disparate numbers in between the two semesters. One semester is 69 days, or 68 days, I believe, and another one is 69 or something. 67 and a half and 69. So we're trying to balance that out so that actually the amount of instruction between both semesters is equivalent. But in addressing this larger, stress portion of the calendar, we're looking at adding in a few more breaks to what we have right now. For instance, Thanksgiving is going to be moved from 2.5 days to 3 days, so you'll get all of Wednesday off. Right now, classes go until 1:10 p.m. on Wednesday. And then largely what we're focusing on is actually in the spring semester. We're adding in President's Day as a two-day-long vacation. That's on top of the weekend, so it'll be very similar to the fall break. Also, MLK Day will be honored. That's something that's just going to be routinely in the calendar now as a day off. And so we're really trying to break up long periods of instruction in the spring semester. Right now, there's an 8-week span between when the spring semester begins and when you get spring break that has essentially no breaks in there. So we're trying to break that up. But how are we going to do this? Unfortunately, we can't just create vacation days and holidays and not move things around. So we're going to be looking at shortening the exam and reading period in both the fall and spring semesters, and in particular restructuring how finals exam week looks. So one of the many options we're considering is, for instance, having 2 days of reading period, to sort of start you off, then maybe 2 or 3 days of exams, and then a day off, and then another 2 or 3 days of exams, and then another day off, or something like this. There are a lot of different possibilities that we're looking at to try to optimize the amount of time we're getting out of the final exam period. Also, right now, final exam period is sort of laden with these sort of exception days where you can go ahead and take an exam and no other exams are scheduled, but it's because all of these once again, a sort of historical crust of the old calendar. We're trying to clean that out, sort of thing. And also what we're looking at doing is shortening the period between the end of final examinations and May commencement, also known as senior week. This is not as big of an issue for undergrads, although I know some undergrads are speaking out in many different ways for and against this. So we are interested in hearing your feedback on that. And the end result is that we'd be holding May commencement probably 2 weeks earlier than it is right now. And that means that we'd be starting this semester a good 1 week ahead, at least, of what we have right now is sort of what is planned and what we're considering. But once again, these are all just considerations. No reports have been written. You know, this is all just a document to sort of generate feedback, and I want to emphasize that. So in the end, that means that we're going to be lengthening summer break, which a lot of graduate students seem to be in favor of, and some undergrads as well, but I have been getting less feedback, obviously, from undergrads. Moving right along, we have some sort of specifics that we're looking at. Obviously, don't hold classes on Labor Day at the beginning of fall semester. The academic year will start on a Monday rather than a Wednesday, which is currently what it is. What that means is that we need to make up two extra days, Monday and Tuesday class period, because we cut out Monday and Tuesday with fall break. So that means we're going to have 7 days of classes rather than five after Thanksgiving break. So that's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then another Monday and Tuesday. And then, once again, it's just trying to equal out the number of instruction days. And really, that's about as much as I want to say to sort of start the presentation. Do you have anything else you want to say, Jeff?
Yeah, I think the thing I'd like to emphasize is that this is not a plan, not even a recommendation. There's not even a calendar associated with all these things yet at all. We played around with calendars and just sort of seen how they look, but nothing is going forward in here. All these things are really no more than just principal ideas. As we say in the explanatory document, we recognize that many of them are mutually exclusive with one another. They're incompatible. So that we really are not far enough along to talk about these as those are really about ideas, anything that we're. What we're recognizing is that if you're going to use these things like add some breaks, we're constrained in other areas. And so if you add some breaks in, something else has to give somewhere. It might be senior week, it might be the exam study period, it might be a lot of different things. You might move you at the beginning or the end of the semester. There are all kinds of possibilities. And so all we're doing now is just putting all these things out there so we can react to it. We've already gotten some of the action for some undergrads and some seniors. Kind of a sacred cow. And so, senior week is not in any sense at all the focus of the committee. We read the Sun article about the college, a number of students. If you read the Sun article, it sounds like, you know, that the people administration is back in there once again trying to take their right to graduate. Senior week in this case. And it's just not true. There's no agenda here at all. It's just a period of time, a block of time that currently is being used one way and could be deployed in a different way if we have higher priorities for how the calendar is constructed. That's it. That's the bottom line.
All right. Yeah, thank you. That's very good rounding out of what I was trying to say, and I appreciate it. So
we have about 5 minutes for questions for the calendar committee.
Do you want to take it?
Yep, Tom?
So I understand that you're interested in moving recommencement away from Memorial Day weekend, but what's wrong with having it on Memorial Day weekend? What's the motivation for wanting to move away from Memorial Day?
Yeah, so obviously there are a lot of pros and cons behind having it on Memorial Day versus not. One of the largest cons of having it on Memorial Day that we've heard from staff is that we need to get volunteers in order to staff that weekend, and Memorial Day is sort of a day that a lot of folks want to take with their families. Weather's starting to get good and everything, so it's potential. I mean, it's become somewhat difficult, and moving it away might be helpful. We also were just looking at shifting the entire semester forward just 1 week, and that puts us in a conundrum that if the college has their commencement just 1 week prior to Cornell, and so that is not an option. Moving it that, so that means we need to move it 2 weeks forward rather than 1 week if we're going to shift it at all.
Actually, we're in discussion with the college registrar. We're actually looking at their calendar as well. And it isn't off the table in terms of we would just need to coordinate with them to make sure that Ithaca College and Cornell do not have the same weekend. That's a physical impossibility.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking, there's no holds barred in the discussions we're having. Certainly, we've met with the registrar and we're looking into that. But so does that address your question?
Or?
Well, yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, and also, I mean, the rest of staff as well on campus, I mean, any school in the area gets Memorial Day off, and we sort of, kind of make it a very busy weekend for staff and everybody, so, yeah.
An advantage would be also to move things forward so that particularly undergrads can get a head start on internships and jobs and things like that in the summer. It's pretty late in the way now. If you move them forward, we would have that.
Yeah, looking at our peer institutions, we do end rather late.
On the other hand, the weather is a big issue.
Okay. Yeah. There was another hand over here. Yes,
it sounds like things are very much still in the planning phase, and I was wondering what the timeline is for these discussions. When do you expect to have or to make some sort of a concrete decision?
Well, that's a multi-tiered answer. No, I'm going to give you a multi-tiered answer. So we wouldn't be able to affirm any changes that we're doing before even September of this coming academic year, 2011-2012. That's simply because all of us are out of session during that time. The faculty senate is out of session, and we need to be able to make those changes while those groups are in session. And I doubt it would even make the first meeting of that academic year, but we can't be sure. So that would be the earliest timeline that we could approve it. But in terms of enacting any new calendar, we would be looking at, for some changes, maybe 2 years out, and a lot of changes between 3 and 5 years out. So many of this won't be affecting us unless we're planning on doing the 6 or 7 year plan, which I know graduate students do, and fine. Certainly it's on my plate. But graduate student government. But anyway, so. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
Mia had a question, then we have time for about one or two more after this.
Thanks.
Kind of a question or feedback also.
Cool. Feedback, yeah, sure.
So I'm in the crop and soil sciences department. Almost all of our students end up doing most of their research in the summer. So in one way, like spending the summer is really adding for us and other people who have research systems like that. But as I ask for feedback from my constituents, and the one feedback I got was that particularly for international students, that it's shortening the winter break makes it hard to be able to get home, especially if you end up working here for the summer,
it's
kind of your only chance.
Yeah, and I had received a few other emails to that effect, and I appreciate you bringing it up. So what we're looking at in terms of abbreviating winter recess is that we would only be shortening it by maybe 1, and in some years 2 weeks is my understanding, given on what day Labor Day falls on. In fact, we have to make 14 different calendars in order to move forward on any of this. So, I mean, that's just, some years it's one, some years it's going to be one, most years it's only going to be one. But, I mean, once again, how much we shorten it or anything is still very much up in the air. So we'd be looking at reducing it in principle from 6 or 5 weeks to 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know. I mean, I understand that some students get to go away for a long time. Me, as I come from California, it's a long flight to go back home. I really want to go back home for as long as I can. But, I mean, we this is just one of the multiple things that we're looking at, and the question is, how much does it affect us? And so, I mean, it is a good point. It's well taken, and it's going to be having to go into the ultimate deliberations of any calendar, but I just want to, put it in perspective of how many days we're looking at shaving off winter break. And yes, summer break also would be. Yeah, please.
Two things. One of them is that the faculty on the committee are also concerned about this, particularly the people who are writing grants about that time. So the NSF deadline is pretty close to that period of time as well now. The other part of that, too, is that,
but it's one of these things where we're just trying to find time that we can do anything for that period. And we recognize there's some issues with it, but we're still looking at it again as a way to actually let it be one of the next.
Thank you. And then Nicole with the final question, I believe.
Well, mine is actually short.
Okay. There was a hand further down. I can't see who raised it. Billy.
This question, is there any flexibility as far as when the break starts? And are the holidays that occur that
time of year a consideration? Well, the holidays are certainly a consideration. And, you know, we can't get terribly close to Christmas in some sense. And depending on which day Christmas falls on, you know, that can also be a consideration. But I think that, once again, all holds are barred. Yeah, we are looking at everything, right? So I think that we are looking at potentially shifting when that begins. And,
yeah, I think we kind of talked much about the front end of the industry because of the Christmas.
Yeah, we have
you may run up against a lot of feedback from people who have children. But within that as well, the people who want to align the calendar more with the local school because of daycare and all kinds of other things. Like that. Getting close to holidays doesn't affect the majority of people. My one other thing I forgot that I wanted to say is that it turned out the long winter break goes back to the 1970s and the oil crisis in 1973. And it's not anything that was intentionally done for any calendar reason that we had to save money during that period of the oil crisis and skyrocketed. But it's a bit like the legacy. It's a good example of Christmas thing. There are a lot of things in the calendar that were never intended to be there for any academic reason. They're just sort of historical evidence.
All right, and with that, thank you. If you have any other further questions or comments, I believe if you send it to Chris, he'll be happy to handle them and forward them on as necessary.
I'll also be here after the meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
At the reception, which everyone is invited to.
Yeah.
All right, moving forward in the agenda, we are going to switch over to the approval of the minutes, which were circulated previously. A few notes, I would pass note to make sure that you are very careful around the paintings hanging, so please do not knock the paintings. And don't touch them either. Additionally, if there are members sitting next to windows and would like to open them, I think that would be appreciated by everyone because it's probably going to get pretty hot in here. For the voting membership itself, the executive committee had made an agreement that any member who had missed the last meeting would be unseated. So we received two confirmed unseated and one that we have to unseat ourselves. So Chris Clark, Ben Hefner, and Nantogma are all unseated for this meeting. And then also, due to the charter change, we can reseat members. And so since Asha is here, she is reseated and allowed to vote during this meeting. So that brings the total roll of the GPSA voting membership for this year to 16. Yes, to 16 members. All right, now moving on to the approval of the minutes. We have the minutes from the April 4th, 2011 meeting that were circulated. There were Evan circulated to us some minor changes that were all accepted as friendly amendments. They were just adjusting names and pulling things out and clarifying some figures and numbers. Are there any other friendly amendments at this time? Seeing none, Evan?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Brian. So we have a motion to approve the minutes. Are there any opposed? Please raise your placards at this time. Seeing none, the minutes are passed. All right, moving forward, we move into the announcements and reports section. So first we have the executive announcements, and for my personal announcements, I can't recall any announcements at this time. Brian? Sorry. I'm also used to calling Brian. Tom?
So you may have seen some of the press about the lack of representation of graduate students on the Willard Strait Hall Student Union Board, and let me just say that there's perhaps some misinformation circulating about this. To be clear, the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly in the last 4 years has no record of being requested for representation on the Lloyd Strait Hall Student Union Board. However, that does not mean in the past such requests were made to us. And we are now working in a proactive manner to see that in the future, graduate and professional students are seated on the Willie Strait Hall Student Union Board. Since this would be something that would be appropriate for the bylaws of the GPSA, and since we are not in a position to vote on such bylaws, it will be included in the letter that goes from the executive board to the incoming executive board, with recommendations and changes to be made for the operating procedures of the GPSA in the future.
Jen, with any EVP or communications?
She just
all right, we'll reconnect with her when she gets back in. Brian?
Okay, so first on my role as counsel. So if you recall at the last meeting, we passed Resolution 8, which adopted the GPSA orientation guidebook. That guidebook is now posted on the Office of Assembly's website. If you go to the documents section, beneath the charter, bylaws, and activity fee guidelines, there's a section now entitled GPSA Handbook where you can download the one we approved as well as the one that is written by the Office of Assembly. On the other side, for my position as chair of the mental health focus group, so if you recall at the last meeting, I said that the graduate school was working on updating their website. Part of it, the life at Cornell will include proactive mental health information that the committee worked on. That'll be available April 25th, and our next meeting will be discussing Cornell Minds Matter, and something that Brenda received, and we'll be discussing whether or not this information will go into the orientation package, is this 1-800-GRAD-HELP. And with that, next slide. As I always do at the end of each year, I just want to take a moment and acknowledge the people that worked on the Mental Health Committee. Their names are listed there, whether they were graduate students or administration. So, thank you.
All right. Any questions for Brian at all? Seeing none, we'll move on. Jen, do you have any updates for the EVP or Communications Committee?
No. Still very much like the Cornell Care Community Collaboration, but it will be
are there any questions for Jen?
Yes,
Brian.
Not Thursday?
No.
I was following. Okay.
Any additional questions?
Yeah, that's
room.
All right, seeing no additional questions, we'll move on into the committee updates. So, Bobby, do you have an update from the Finance Commission?
The deadline for annual budgets for student organizations and clubs is this Friday. They need to get into the student activity office last year online. So they need to be completed and signed by your officers and your advisors. And the following week, the Finance Commission will be reviewing those applications. Again, so call out for help. Any graduate professional students that are available the following Saturday, which I think is the 30th, will be at Stage Hall. We'll be sending out an email soliciting again for help. The more people we have, that the process goes. You don't have to have any experience with the Finance Commission, and any volunteers would be greatly appreciated.
Any questions for Bobby? Seeing none, we'll move on. Kyle, update from the Appropriations Committee?
No.
All right, no update. We'll move on into student advocacy with Brian. Do you have the update from Marquis?
Yeah, so I met with Marquis, student advocacy chair. I met last week. Some students have been emailing myself and the Student Advocacy Committee regarding the closing of the ceramic studio. So any requests to help with that from the mental wellness group has been sent to Student Advocacy, and I believe Mark Hinch is going to be setting up a meeting with Dean Hubble and Will Strabel. So he should be emailing you.
I think I got it already.
Perfect. So the committee will be meeting and discussing with Dean Humbleback. And
any questions for Brian? Yes, Billy.
No, I don't. Marquise did not know either. He said when we met last week that he was going to contact the graduate students that was talking to him. So as of last Friday, neither himself or I knew what result that was.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to the events committee / graduate student programming board.
Okay, well, I'll spare you all the discussion of R9 for later. That'll be exciting. But even though the GPSA is year end, we're still having a couple more events this semester. The one that you'll be hearing about, the emails are going to start going up tonight, is we're doing an Iron Chef competition on the 28th of April. So you want to start getting your teams together and make sure for the details. We're also hoping to do a mixer at a bar with Hickory College graduate students sometime in the next couple weeks as well. And also, anyone who's interested in getting involved with programming for next year or has any suggestions, we have an open forum this Wednesday at 5 p.m. in Mira's Hall 202. There will be some light refreshments, but we'll kind of go over some of the charter changes or the constitution of the programming board, what the goals and mission will be. This is one of the steps we have to take in order to apply for Vitalize funding, but it's also a really good opportunity for us to provide information to people who are interested in the programming board and also get some feedback. So, again, you're all more than welcome to come.
Any questions for Nicole at all? Seeing none, we'll move on. Is there an update from the ad hoc environment or the sustainability committee?
Yeah, we had our last meeting early April, and we had our last meeting
in the last meeting early April, and we'll have our last meeting in the semester. And we're currently in the process of registering the GSU bus event. Any questions for Billy? Seeing none, we'll move on to the ad hoc survey committee update. Evan?
As of today, we have 592 responses to the survey. That's up 1,000. Yeah. 59.2%. We're still, fingers crossed, hoping for 80%, though that may be a bit of a pipe dream at this point. There's one final reminder email that will go out this Thursday. We also had announcements, hopefully all of you received and sent by the field, and we had an announcement that goes that went into the Big Red Barn announced, theory being the more directions you are hit with this from, the more likely you are to respond. Resolution 2, the resolution that gave us our authority, mandates that the committee produce a preliminary report for the current GPSA, whose term ends May 31st. Once we have data, which we estimate will be as late as May 6th, maybe sooner than that, we'll put this together and circulate it via email to the current assembly, because of course we don't have any more meetings. More importantly, over the summer the committee will continue to work. Technically the committee won't exist anymore after May 31st, but some friends of mine and I will continue to meet over the summer and put together a final report that will be given to next year's GPSA and Appropriations Committee, and we'll do a presentation at the first or second, depending on time and scheduling, meeting of the GPSA next year. That's where we hope brilliant insights will come, and I don't know, wonderful things will happen. Any questions?
Are there any questions for that? Seeing none, we'll move on. The last ad hoc committee to update is the Committee for Emergency Funding, and they were required to submit a report, so this is the report that they was submitted by them, and I'm going to go through it just very quickly. So basically, the report, what emergency grant funds are available to graduate students. They contacted the directors of most of the schools on campus, including the Johnson School, Veterinary Medicine, Graduate School, and Law School, and then additionally, any other community funds that might be out there, and that was Gretchen Ryan. So there are funds available for the veterinary school, graduate school, and then also those were the two schools that received back. We're still waiting back on law school and the business school. And there are additional funds available to the broader community, specifically the Undergraduate Student Helping Students Fund. And that's more of a description. So this overall recommendations of the entire document is that the GPSA educate and inform graduate professional students about the already existing funds, that the GPSA remain in contact with administrators that are identified to, that are responsible for these funds, and that this report be circulated to next year's communication committee and student advocacy committee. And these were the three people who worked on it. Any questions at this moment? Yes, Evan.
So the committee does not recommend pursuing the creation of a graduate professional?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Any other questions at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into liaison updates. So for the Faculty Senate, I believe you already gave your update. Employee Assembly. And then Student Assembly slash our Student Trustee.
But I don't have any updates from the Student Assembly that I've involved with this evening. The in terms of stuff going on the Trustee front, there will be elections from 8 a.m. on April 27th to 10 a.m. on April 29th. That's Wednesday through Friday of next week, I believe. You will receive, everyone who's a registered student at the university will receive an email saying, please vote for the student trustee. Don't be fooled. These candidates are all undergraduates. You all still have a vote. All students elect both the student trustees in odd number of years, the undergraduates elected, even number of years, the graduate students elected. Just the person has to come from that constituency. These students represent all the students on campus. They also represent faculty, staff, and 250,000 alumni. So this is a decision that is equally responsive to you as to any undergraduate. So you should have some say, and I encourage your field as well to have some say in electing these candidates. All the candidates have websites up. You know, you can go check those out on your own, or you can, you'll be directed to them when information comes up when you're actually voting next week. The so that's some of the candidates particularly mentioned graduate student issues. So if you think those are that's something you want to look into, I encourage you to vote.
Are there any questions at this time for NITOP? Seeing none, we'll move out of the announcements and reports phase and go into the business of the day. And so we're going to skip right over to Resolution 7, the resolution to revise the funding guidelines for the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly Finance Commission. And this has been spearheaded by Kyle. Would you like to speak on this?
Yes, so I just received an email last night with the new funding guidelines. New funding guidelines and the company's resolution from Access. We do require GPSA approval. And there's been some good questions so far. It seems that the committee has sealed it, but I'd like to hear further feedback. And we can obviously entertain any amendments to the OPC.
So at this time, since we're voting on this member on this matter, there will be an opportunity for any member to speak out against in a formal matter to the resolution that's been presented. So at this time, any member who would like to, you have 1 to 2 minutes. Seeing none, we'll move into the informal debate then, in which any member can ask for any questions or comments, and then additionally can propose any amendments at any time. Yes, Tom.
I'd ask that the presenter, for the benefit of those who were not present at the last meeting, summarize some salient changes to the document.
Well, the most salient change is, I would say, changing the programming category, that there's kind of like working their annual budget based on that slide. That change allows, we went from $1,500. Now we'll have group and request what there's no longer a $500 limit receiver category. There was a limit in the category, so the category. So now there's easy to talk about all expenditures in the program category. We also made some clarifications at certain points that were a little bit confusing. For example, there were some concerns about how we calculated the number of students in the field because of the guidelines that are officially going to be based on the graduate school's fall census. There also going to be a readability improvement, which we hope will be more to actually read the guidelines because being on the FC, we do have to get, I think, some FC members get the impression that sometimes groups are finding guidelines to cut down the number of boards significantly and allow that to be
received by versus what has the question of the document, or kind of what the final document limit for each category, and certain ways we've done that much involved.
Are there any other questions or comments? Amendments? Yes, Evan?
If I can talk about the program category for just a second. I'm Evan. I was on the Appropriations Committee. I hope the big change is, if I want to emphasize, increased flexibility. So Asha just asked whether or not this will affect the current process, the one that Bobby mentioned, whose budgets are due this Friday. In my view, it will not affect that process, because what we're doing here is making it more flexible. So if you apply for a budget this week for the deadline this Friday, those numbers are still good. It is worth clarifying that if you were given the maximum in all the categories under programming, so that's speaker, event production, reception, and publicity, the total maximum was $2,050. With a breakdown in each category, 1,000 speaker, 500 event production, 350 reception, and 200 publicity. How it works now, there is a $1,500 cap total, but flexibility within those particular areas.
Well, that's not 24.
Right, yeah. Right, and it won't take effect for this current round of funding, because the system is already set up, people have already put together their budget. Just to finish that thought. So $1,500 total, but without the individual cash within there. This was to get around the issue with the committee thought that people would apply for, say they wanted to spend $700 on a speaker, they would apply for $500 in the speaker category, $200 in event production, and then, if the guidelines allow, they spend within the program category after they've been given that allocation. The hope here is that people will apply for program funding more in line with how they intend to spend it, because the guidelines give you the flexibility of spending after you receive your allocation. Asha has a question.
Are those groups that already submitted, they are tied to this year's progressive stuff? And those in the annual budget in the fall will be subject to the budget, even though both of them are being held in the same fiscal year?
That's how I see it.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I've already seen their budget.
You're saying that's unfair.
Yeah.
That groups could receive, if groups apply this week, they could receive up to $2,050. If they apply next week, they can only receive
$1,500. Well, so this may not be for right now in the state, but for instance, if a group wanted only reception funds, in the current system, they are capped at $300 because now that's the amount they can get.
Right.
So, however, if they had a budget that they wanted to apply for $500 only for reception, they would not be able to apply for that cap.
Right.
However, another group next fall would apply to the deal and they could get that $500. So, the group that are currently applying for that is limited. That's sort of what I'm seeing,
right,
is sort of an inequity between funding years. So, how do you propose to create a resolution between the two?
Yes, Stephen?
I mean, the central project request, I think, should take care of that. Yeah. I think there is a group that does feel there's some fairness that they could easily apply to an SDR.
Right. That, I was going to say that as well. If, say, taking a hypothetical, there were, right now, this week, we wanted $500 for reception funding. What they could do, hypothetically, is apply for $300, $350 in that reception category and $150 in one of the other programming categories. And then they would be able to, again, as I read the guidelines and as the committee read the guidelines, spend within their total program allocation to reach that $500. This is how the Office of Assembly is tracked, that they don't break it down by category. This, again, as I've seen it, they view it as a single application. If groups next year would have that flexibility built in, if groups next year feel that they're being unfairly maligned by not being able to apply for that full $550, which I should emphasize, people weren't spending anything. It's part of the reason for the change. Again, to try to bring allocations in line with expenditures, then they have an SPR. They file an SPR that's positive.
Are there any further questions, comments, amendments, motions?
Move to close debate and vote.
There is a move to close debate and vote. Is there a second? Seconded by Nicole. So currently on the table is the R7, which is the updating of the Finance Commission document by the Appropriations Committee. And all members who are in favor, I should clarify who's able to vote, actually, since there are many members here today. So it's any member who last year was elected as a voting member for the 2010-2011 GPSA year. So there should be 16 of you present. At this time, if you are in favor of passing the R7, please raise your placards now. Any members opposed, please raise your placards now. Any abstaining, please raise your placards now, too. So with a vote of 14-0-2, the R7 passes. Moving on, with a minute to spare, we're going to switch over and start discussing Resolution 9. So this is the Graduate Professional Student Programming Board, and we're able to vote on this today because there is no charter amendment to this. It's actually just a resolution. So Nicole will take it away.
So let me first start off by saying that I forgot to give Brian credit last week. He wrote the majority of our 9 text. I just wanted to say that given that council doesn't have to do anything that they don't want to, Brian has been incredibly helpful in this process. So I just wanted to thank him so I didn't forget.
Let's wait till we pass
it.
Thanks for your work.
Anyway.
We'll see what happens to
it. Okay, so basically what this does is says that the GPSA approves of the concept of forming the programming board as a university affiliated organization, somewhat independent of the GPSA, so as a student organization, not as a committee of the GPSA. It then basically goes on to say that the chairperson of the programming board, which is currently me, at least until May 31st, will do everything we need to apply for byline funding in that time, so that registering with the Student Activities Office, writing up a constitution for the programming board, and start the initial byline funding process with the Office of Assemblies. It also says that the initial charter of the organization will be submitted to the approval of the GPSA at the soonest possible date, which for the whole GPSA will, of course, be September of next year, for the first time. But the executive board of the GPSA will approve the initial charter before I submit it to the Student Activities Office, which is in one of the further clauses. The draft of the resolution that was circulated last night, there's only one minor change in the one that I'd like to approve today, which was that the GPSA will be able to staff the programming board, but they won't have the ability to remove members. I figured that was easier done within the programming board itself and not something you needed to bring before the GPSA every time you wanted to remove someone from the board. So basically, the programming board will continue to be staffed through the GPSA, similar to how committees are staffed now. But that just sort of allows for a streamlined process to get people in. The other thing, the current constitution, which I should mention, the draft of it is up on cornellgpsa.com, the blog. So you can go through that if you have any extra comments before that goes in. But basically, we also, in addition to the chair, we will have the ability to elect two officer positions within the programming board. Someone who's going to the vice chair of finance, so they'll be in charge of doing all the financial stuff, and the vice chair of communications will be more involved in the marketing component, as I envision it. So this will seriously reduce the load placed on the chair next year. So basically, that's it. Guys, have any questions?
Since we're able to vote on this matter, if there's an option for any member to speak out in opposition, you'll have 1 to 2 minutes to speak out in opposition to R9. Is there any member who wishes to do so at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into informal debate, and at this moment, any member can ask any questions, comments, propose any amendments, and propose motions. First hand was Evan. And there's an amendment, actually takes precedence.
Oh, sorry.
I apologize.
Hopefully this is friendly, but it says as the first "be it therefore resolved" clause, in concept, the formation of the GPSDB as a separate university-affiliated registered student organization, and I'm going to do, the Ben Hebner and say university should probably be capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
No?
No.
Are you sure?
University. Registered
if you're saying
student
the
university,
then,
is an actual term
one. Oh, okay.
Used by the Dean of Students Office.
Okay.
To refer to a particular kind of student organization.
Okay, I retract. Thank you.
So
sorry.
That's what that means. Yeah.
All right, then Evan had the question on the floor. And then Tom.
I just had a question about how the finances will work under the new vision, whether they'll still be run through the Office of Assembly, or whether there's a plan to get your own bank account.
So we actually met with a bunch of administrators this morning. So I met with Brenda Wicks as well as Catherine Holmes in the student's office, several administrators doing finances there. So the vision is eventually it will not be how, like, that the financial stuff will not be under the Office of Assembly. Next year will be a somewhat transitional year in which we'll be able to figure out exactly what those logistics are going to look like, simply because next year we'll still be a committee, essentially, of the GPSA until we officially get that finalized funding, which won't kick in until 2012-2013 kind of year. So the logistics aren't fully worked out yet. There's still some kinks to be ironed out, but we have a full year before that the programming board takes its full flight.
Tom?
I guess a similar question. It's more of a comment. That is that this board, as it's currently being conceived, I think has a number of possibilities before it. And one very strong one is that it will want to become independent of the GPSA in the future. And since I see this as a kind of a spin-off from the GPSA to an independently registered student organization, I think that the intention of the resolution should be known. Whether ultimately that is desirable in your mind, that at some future date, not very far, some of the members here will be present, we won't be hearing from the GPSDB in a formal capacity, rather a special function like any of the other byline funded groups which we currently provide funding to.
I think that that's certainly a noble goal. It's hard to say exactly what that will look like. So I've been I think as this came to my awareness, people brought this up to me, why isn't there actually a programming board? And that was at one point a vision for the events committee, was that it would eventually be spun off into an independent group doing graduate professional student programming. And I think that that's a really valuable goal. So I think hopefully as those logistics get ironed out, as we kind of find a realistic administrative home for a programming board and it sort of continues to be staffed with enthusiastic and participating graduate students, I certainly hope that that's something we can do in the future. And it shouldn't be too difficult given the current structure as it's being set up to do that should it seem necessary.
Are there any other additional questions, comments, amendments, motions? There are none. Yes, Evan.
Motion to close debate.
There's a motion to close debate and vote on this matter. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second by Stephen first, actually. And so now we have the motion to close debate and vote. And so we'll be voting on the R9, which is the Graduate Professional Student Programming Board, as described by Nicole. So at this time, for the 2010-2011 voting membership, if you are in favor of the resolution, please raise your placards now. There are 14 members in favor. Any opposed, please raise your placards now. There are zero opposed, and those abstaining, please raise your placards now, with two abstentions. So the vote of 14 to 0 to 2, the motion passes, and R9 passes.
Ooh. We got all the contentious stuff out of the way at the beginning of the year.
So today the chair is happy because we're running ahead of schedule. So we move on to the elections of the GPSA of the 2011-2012 officers. So in the way this will work, any member of the GPSA who currently is intending to be serving on the 2011-2012 year has a vote as to who the officers will be. The three executive committee positions have to be voting memberships, if I remember the charter correctly. Yes, Tom is nodding his head. So the voting memberships were determined at the last meeting, so there are 17 already determined voting seats. And if you are a voting member for the 2011-2012 year, please raise your hand now. So these are the members who are eligible for being a president, vice president of operations, or the executive vice president. So at this time, you can put your hands down, by the way. So at this time, we're going to go through, we'll be actually electing all these different positions, so we'll start with president and move on down. But we're going to provide a brief description of each position before we move into elections. And the member who's actually the outgoing member of each position, or potentially going to move on before some of the chairs, will be giving the description of their position. So for the GPSA president, there was a slight redefinition this year with the charter pass. But overall, the goals of the president is to assure the smooth and effective operation and maintenance of the GPSA. You are a caretaker and kind of the face of the GPSA. You are to delegate responsibilities needed to accomplish the duties of the office and goals of the charter and the bylaws. So you also have to make sure that everyone's doing what they're supposed to, and anything that you can't do, you're supposed to delegate to someone. And you're supposed to chair every meeting or make sure that somebody's there to run each meeting. This is slightly different than it was this year because of the fact that we used to alternate chairs between the president and the executive vice president. So the president was traditionally only in charge of the business meetings, where the executive vice president took over the discussion meetings. However, with the redefinition of meetings as just GPSA meetings, the president now is chair of all meetings. You're supposed to transmit notice of actions and recommendations of the GPSA to the wider community. So you have to notify other assemblies of what the GPSA is doing. And you have to notify the Office of Assemblies what the GPSA is doing. And you're to serve as a spokesperson for the GPSA. So you, one of the major roles is you're now going to have to be meeting regularly with the president of the university. There's actually some scheduled meetings that are going to occur about four times a year to be have the administration be more transparent with the different assemblies. Additionally, you have to present at the trustee meeting, so you have the opportunity to speak to the entire board of trustees once a year. And you have to submit a semi-annual year-end report to the university, so you submit two reports, one at in December and then one at the end of April. And additionally, a new thing is you have to serve as a delegate to the university assembly. So this is actually a new thing that had occurred out of the redefinition of the university assembly. The president now serves as a voting member on the UA itself. Any questions or comments on the GPSA presidency? It is a time commitment, so consider that if you want to run for it. So we'll move on to, yes?
I've been asked to present on the executive vice president since I wrote these in the, as they're currently written. And this is a new position in the sense that the responsibilities are new, but it has the same title as the previous position. The main one is to assist the president as needed. So we envision that the executive vice president is the number one go-to person on the entire assembly, and therefore it's a pretty capacious category. We can't really say what that's going to entail, but any time the president cannot commit to something, it will be the role of the executive vice president to step up. Therefore, the person must be informed on all issues, just like the president. So in some ways, we see them as a number one and a number two in the GPSA. We've also added a few other very sort of specific responsibilities to the executive vice president. The first is that they'll be responsible for recruiting graduate professional students reflecting the diverse nature of the university to serve in the GPSA. That is the EVP's responsibility, so recruitment is the key word. The next one would be membership lists. so they'll be responsible for attendance at all meetings and the updating of membership related to voting members and field representatives. Finally, related to those record-keeping items, you must distribute the agenda and meeting materials. So it's a technical thing in which the vice president should be the person you're hearing from prior to all meetings, not the president. It takes away one of the duties of the president. Likewise, one of the other administrative duties that the president has had to face in the past has been chairing the executive committee, which is actually itself work, since the executives do meet behind the scenes regularly, and it requires scheduling and other responsibilities, including payment, often of money for goods and services. And so we would like the executive vice president to take on all those responsibilities, which is within the GPSA. So the EVP will start outlining for E-board meetings. And finally, chair the meeting in absence of the president.
Any questions for Tom at all on this position? Seeing none, we'll move on to the vice president of operations.
These responsibilities have not changed much since the last iteration. In fact, maybe they've grown slightly. The vice president for operations chairs the operations staff and committee, which is itself composed of the hardest working folks, I like to say, the GPSA, all the standing committee chairs, and the executive officers. We maintain accurate lists of committee appointments as opposed to members, so EVP is membership, operations is committees. And you maintain communication with those committee appointees and chairs. We coordinate the reporting procedures with respect to other assemblies, committees, and we review and update the charter and bylaws, not in a formal manner, but any time a charter change is made or a bylaw change is made, the responsibility of the BPO to see that they are, in fact, updated appropriately. Finally, in the absence of the president, executive vice president, the BPO would become the chair.
Any questions on this position for Tom? Seeing none, we'll move on to the Council of the GPSA, in which Brian will
The Council, there is a requirement about who that can be. It has to be a previously serving executive. So in the room right now, the only ones who could become counsel would be Preston, Tom, Jen, Nightwalk, Mike Walsh, or myself. And basically, you don't have to be a voting member, you don't even have to be field representative. You're here just to ensure that there is institutional memory between GPSA administrations. And other than that, you are free to do whatever you want, but you're also free to gracefully refuse to do anything you don't want to do. I did way too much this year.
Yes, you did.
Was that?
In the merit position.
Thank you.
Any questions for Brian? Seeing none, we'll move on. The Finance Commission. Bobby, would you like to speak about this?
So the Finance Chair will lead the commission that reviews applications to fund student organizations. They organize three meetings per semester, as well as an annual budgeting review process at the end of the academic year. And they assist the Student Activities Office in interpreting the rules, as well as the student community interpreting the rules during the request for funding.
All right, any questions for Bobby at all? Seeing none, we shall move on to the Appropriations Chair. Kyle, would you like to speak on this?
So what I've done this year is very different from what we'll have in next year. Next year is an activity fee setting year where we actually allocate that, $37 per semester per student that you all pay to go to that filing funded group. Examples of the CPSA itself, the Red Bar, Cornelson, etc. From what I understand, it is a politically, you will probably be putting yourself, and you may be putting yourself into a politically protected committee about how the money is spent. You're obviously chairing the committee. You also serve on the CPSA FC, so you decide how much money the FC has to work with, and you can chair it there at those meetings and see how it works. And what I did this year was March 7th, the year with the rules of the GPSA Finance Commission every other year. I would say it does require a little bit of thick skin, because you may pick people off.
Any other questions for Kyle at all? Seeing none, we shall move on to the communications. Jen, would you like to speak up about this?
Sure. So the communications chair was previously also part of the executive vice president position, but given the current charter changes, it is no longer. So you can really make it whatever you want it to be. I focus a lot on building up the new website with Ben and trying to figure out what functions would serve us best. Also part of that is setting up GPSA info or finding somebody to print out. helping to publicize the events and GPSA committee. So either encouraging people from the other committees to send you a blurb, editing that, or coming up with something yourself if they email you about it. Coordinating new student orientation. So we did flyers last year, and I'm assuming that we'll be doing that again this year, next school year. And promoting diversity within the CSA through local. So that's new as of this year.
Any questions for Jen? Seeing none, we shall move on. The programming board chair. Nicole, would you like to speak to this end?
Right. So due to obviously this R9 and the new constitution for the programming board that's coming through, the chair of the programming board will obviously be responsible for running the programming board, running its meetings. They're expected to update the GPSA once a semester on the plan of events for that semester. They will also be reaching out to solicit interest for members to serve on the programming board, especially from programming boards from like professional schools who have their own within school programming boards. They're also going to be responsible for registering each year with student activities office, as well as going through the byline funding process which will have to happen starting in September of next year. And also, I just wanted to note that, again, with the programming board being a university organization, they will also, starting in September with the first meeting, have the assistance of a vice chair of finance and a vice chair of communications, which is not something that I've had benefit of this year, but that will only be good for future chairs of the programming board.
Any questions for Nicole? Seeing none, we shall move on. The student advocacy chair. Brian, would you like to speak to this one?
So I'll speak because that was the previous advocacy chair. So for this committee, you're working on issues that affect all graduate and professional students. Previous years, it's been regarding child care or health care for students who work in Geneva. Or this year, Zoran and San Marquis have been working on to promote diversity within GPSA. As far as requirements are concerned, you have to put on a town hall meeting once a year. It can be on any topic or topics that are of interest to the committee or the Cornell community. And you're also responsible for updating the student advocacy resource sheet. That is a document that is produced by the advocacy committee, updated once a year for graduate and professional students to see what services there are on campus for whatever issue they have. Finally, because of the change to the bylaws, The student advocacy chair is responsible for developing a mental wellness focus group of the student advocacy committee members, and that focus group will continue the work that the GTSA's ad hoc mental health committee did this year, meeting with the graduate school dean of students and Gannett to discuss graduate mental health.
Are there any questions for Brian? Seeing none, we shall move on. So the University Assembly delegate is Mike Walsh still here. There he is.
For those of you who are familiar with the university assembly, it's a body in transition right now. Where all the constituent assemblies, the GPSA, the student assembly, the faculty senate, and the employee assembly, deal with issues specific to their constituent bodies. The university assembly deals with issues that are important to all constituents at that point. And for years, this body was hindered by the fact that its charter had to be approved, or charter amendments had to be approved by 20% of each constituency at Cornell. And nothing ever got done until we finally removed the requirements for that amendment process last year. And what that did was it allowed us to look at the U.S. charter, look at the stuff in there that wasn't working, look at the stuff in there that had just like fallen off by the wayside, and update it. And beginning next year, we're going to be starting, the university assembly will be starting a brand new charter. And this is a great opportunity for anyone who is interested in a whole bunch of different areas of university policy to get involved and to speak to graduate professionals who are concerned. And those areas are code of conduct, campus planning, diversity and inclusion, sustainability, family support, health services, information technology, public safety, and transportation community policy. Now, you might think that those are a lot of areas that you know, only three delegates from the graduate professional student body to handle. But you will be having some support. There will be graduate students on committees that deal with those issues who will be supporting your role. This is a very important position. This is a position that you know, will require some, you know, a lot of human work to really make sure that the charter changes that we did this year really succeed. I think they will. I think this is a great opportunity for them to be looking at stepping up their game in terms of representing graduate professionals who need that.
Any questions for Mike? Yes, Brian.
For the benefit of everyone, could you say when the meetings are?
I actually don't know. That's changing next year. Generally, they've been Wednesday at 4:30.
Fair enough.
They're actually going to be Tuesdays next year.
Okay. Same time?
Yep.
Every other Tuesday.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we actually will move into electing the different positions. So the first position that we are going to elect is president of the GPSA, the chair of the GPSA for next year. Yes, Nighthawk.
I would like to nominate my friend and colleague, the humanities representative to GPSA, and one of the GPSA representatives to the University Assembly, Evan Corten.
Evan, do you accept?
I do accept.
So Evan is running. Are there any other additional nominations? The chair would also entertain a motion to close debate and vote by acclamation. Yes, Mia. Are you making that motion?
Yes.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second?
So moved.
Is there a second? Anyone? Seconded by Stephen. All right, the debate has been closed, and we moved by acclamation. So, Evan, you are president for 2011-2012. And as your first responsibility, you have to come up here and chair the rest of the election. Did you get a few words? Yeah, do you want a few words while you're up here? And it, additionally, any member who is not going to be serving on the 2011-2012 GPSA year in any capacity is excused now to go to the reception. So if you're not serving, please feel free to go out to the reception and get any drinks. Yeah. If you're not serving, be served at this time. Please feel free to get up and leave.
Well, people might want to vote.
Well, the problem is that
they want to stick around for the election.
I'm out of here.
You probably don't want to hear me talk about myself. I'm looking forward to next year being a body that is focused on outreach, a body that is focused on meeting and representing the needs and interests of graduate and professional students. I think we've worked extraordinarily hard and very well this year to put together a charter and bylaws that ensure inclusivity, that ensure involvement, and I think we can build on that next year to really make sure, like I say, that we are representing graduate students. And I hope to work with each and every one in this room, committee chairs, voting members, field representatives, graduate students, and professional students generally, to make that happen.
Evan?
Yes?
Will you be requiring representatives to sing O Canada?
At the start of every meeting. And we'll end every meeting with God Save the Queen. Goodness, this is a lot of power. So we'll move now to Executive Vice President. my smell.
No,
yes. The chair would entertain nominations for the position of Executive Vice President. Kyle.
I'd like to nominate a great colleague of mine, Nicole Barrett.
Nicole, do you accept?
Yes, I do.
So noted. Are there any further nominations for the position of Executive Vice President? Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion to close debate and vote by acclamation. Motion by Randa, seconded by Stephen. Unless there is any objection, so moved. Nicole, would you like to say a few words?
Sure. Thanks so much, I guess. I'm just really looking forward to doing, especially the recruitment job, recruiting members, making sure people know about the GPSA, are interested in get involved in the issues that you know are really important to graduate students. So that's my goal for next year.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to Vice President Operations. We have a nomination.
I'd like to nominate Marquise Hawkins for the position of VPO. You want me to keep going?
Go ahead.
And Marquise is not here this evening, but he has submitted a statement that if he was nominated, he would accept the nomination, and that is been sent to me, it's been sent to the new GPSA president, and it's been sent to the outgoing executive committee.
How did he know who to send it to as far as new GPSA president?
He sent it to me.
EFT.
Sorry, I'm being disingenuous.
And people he thought may be involved next year.
So,
there's a whole field that he wants read. I'm happy to read it.
How about this? We'll see if there are other nominations for the position. Are there other nominations for the position of Vice President Operations? Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion to close debate and vote by acclamation.
Do it.
So moved. Do we have a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Kyle. Unless there is objection. Press. To clap really loud so Marquise can hear us all the way from Chicago. He's away at a conference today. Next, we'll move to Council of the Assembly. Are there any nominations? Nighthawk.
I would like to nominate the current Vice President of Operations, Tom McNair.
Tom, do you accept?
I do.
So noted. Are there any other nominations? And remember that only a particular set of people are eligible for this position.
I'd like to revise the nomination. When I nominated you, I said my friend and colleague. So let me say my friend and colleague.
I would like to nominate Mike Walsh.
Yes.
Very good.
So noted.
Very good.
Are there any further nominations? Seeing none, the chair would, et cetera, et cetera. Entertain a motion to close.
Second.
Moved by Jolien, seconded by Nicole.
Yay.
Next we move to Finance Commission Chair. Are there any nominations on the floor? I would like to nominate Mia Tuttle. Mia, do you accept?
Yes.
So noted. Are there any further nominations for the position of SC Chair?
Motion to close.
Moved by Brian, seconded by Joe. Without objection. Next, the chair would entertain nominations for the position of Appropriations Chair.
I'd like to nominate my good friend and colleague, Christopher Heckman.
Good friend and colleague, Christopher Heckman. Do you accept?
Sure.
Chris accepts. Are there any further nominations for the position of Appropriations Chair? Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion to close debate.
Motion.
Move to vote. Moved by Randa, seconded by?
Second.
Seconded by Nicole. Without objection, so ordered. Next we move to Communications Chair. The chair would entertain nominations from the floor at this time. Julian? Kyle Birkenhoff? Kyle declines his nomination. Are there any further nominations?
I'd like to nominate Steve Ahn.
Chris nominates Steve Ahn. Steve, do you accept? Steve accepts. Are there any further nominations for the position of Communications Chair? Seeing none,
ooh,
the chair would entertain a motion to move. So moved. Do we have a second? Seconded by Randa. Moved by Nicole. Next, we move to the position of Programming Board Chair. Jolien.
Try this in different tacks. I would like to nominate my good friend and colleague, YJ.
YJ, do you accept? YJ accepts. Are there any further nominations for the position of Programming Board Chair? Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion to close debate and move to vote. Moved by Steve, seconded by Nicole. Without objection. I should be giving you all a chance to speak. We can do that at the end.
I can't write as fast as you guys are going
to.
Next, we move to Student Advocacy Chair. Brian.
I'd like to nominate Rebecca Robbins.
Rebecca, do you accept?
I do.
Rebecca accepts. Do we have any further nominations for the position of Student Advocacy Chair? Seeing none, chair would entertain a motion. Moved by Tom. Seconded by Allison. Without objection, so ordered. I'll pause briefly at this second. I should have given you a chance to speak briefly if there are any particular remarks. I made some remarks. Nicole did, of course. Marquise, I'll circulate his email later.
It's long.
He does quote Robert Kennedy, so. Tom, Mia.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to entering a politically contentious situation. You know, I tend to find myself in those very often, and I'm looking forward to it. So,
thank you.
Please help me.
Not much to say, but I was really involved with diversity discussions. I really like to push on that. And also, one idea I would like to toss out there is to do like a biweekly grad podcast. Maybe 5-10 minutes
to talk about the event so
we can get the info, maybe if that's a little bit, it'll be a little more interesting.
I think a grad acapella group.
That'll
make it more interesting.
All right.
Shame about the event.
That is true. YJ, do you have any remarks?
I hope to continue on the good work Nicole has done this year and build community through having fun.
Thank you. And Rebecca, any remarks to say about the position of student advocacy?
So long since the classifying started, these issues are very near and dear to my heart as my research in health communication. So thank you very much.
Finally, we have two positions to fill on the University Assembly. The charter was revised this year. We still send three representatives, but the presiding officer of this body is automatically a representative of the University Assembly, so we need to elect two further. Anybody is eligible to run for this position. You don't need to be a voting member, a field rep. You just need to be a graduate or professional student. Any nominations? Nicole?
I would like to nominate my friend Kyle Albert.
Kyle Albert, do you accept?
Accept.
Kyle accepts.
Sean Murphy.
Sean Murphy. Do you accept?
Excellent.
Steve?
I would accept Julian Decline.
Julian Decline. Just wait a second. Are there any further nominations for the position of University Assembly Representative? We have two positions to fill and two nominees. Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion to close debate. Moved by Nicole, seconded by Brian. Without objection. Congratulations to all of those who are now chairing committees, members of the executive, members of the University Assembly. Look forward to a productive year working with all of you. We have 3 minutes left, and the last item on our agenda is open forum. If there are any things for open forum.
I have one thing. If you have a good understanding of what the student trustees do or what the board of trustees in general does, could you please raise your hand? About right. And two of those six hands have been trustees at one time or another, including me, Mr. Walsh. So that's been considered a major problem. I consider it a major problem. All the candidates who are campaigning for undergraduate student trustee now consider it a problem. One of the things that many of the students who are, a few of the students at least, that were campaigning for undergraduate trustee this year suggested was that we bring back something that used to occur in the past, which was a bi-weekly column in the Cornell Sun. I don't know how many graduate students regularly read the Sun. I know some do. I know a lot of undergraduates do as well. So that column will be starting this Wednesday. I'll be providing the inaugural edition of that column, and I'll be, in part of that, explaining what the trustees do. And, you know, as a trustee, I sort of liaise with the GPSA to work with the board of trustees, which is like a policy-setting body for the university. And so I would encourage you as members of the GPSA to read the article in the Sun, even if you don't normally read the Sun on Wednesday, just to get a better understanding of what the board of trustees does. And I will be talking about my office hours and my contact information there. And so if you have any ideas related to the types of issues that the Board of Trustees is working with, I'd really like to step up my engagement this year. I think this past year I haven't been able to figured out how to liaise really well with the GPSA. So next year I would like to improve on that. So your ideas would be appreciated after you read what sort of issues we're focusing on.
Not to stand between everybody in the reception, but I would just like to encourage you all to listen to Tom or whoever the new communications person is, if that's who's going to be sending out inquiries for membership on various and sundry university committees. This is the way that you get to represent the graduate students, not just by sitting on GPSA, but also by sitting on these various committees. It's great if you're considering an academic profession. But it's also good just to make your voice felt here and now. The folks who go on these committees don't need to be members of the GPSA, so if you want to just pass the message back on out to your field. I think we currently have two or three committees that they're still looking for members. For some reason, the university's committee structure gears up in April. I don't know why that is. We're all exhausted. No one wants to talk about things, but it does happen. The students, there's a committee to look at graduate and professional student housing at large. There's a committee to look at race and fees in graduate and professional student housing. And I just forgot the third one, but it doesn't matter because we've got the line going reception. But just respond to those calls, get the word out, and get involved. That's how people are going to know that grad students are on campus.
Seeing that it's 7 p.m., I would like to very quickly recognize Brian Forster.
So once again, if you've not looked at the GPSA orientation guidebook, it is posted online. Please review.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't want to keep you all from the reception, but my name is Alex Forrest. I'm running for undergraduate student trustee.
And I just wanted to comment and then say I started a connection in case I didn't win, because I think often the undergraduate student just doesn't talk enough to the GPSA and all of the issues that affect graduate students. And so I want to start that connection and also reach out and ask any of you at the reception or afterwards to please come up to me and talk to me about the issues facing you. I think so far I'm the only candidate that's talked about graduate issues, including implementing the graduate community initiative, expanding and repairing the Big Red Barn, and working with Susan Murphy to find a replacement for the Hasbro-Maplewood homes. So I'd love for you guys to come up to me, talk to me more about that, and I want to hear from your issues, because if I win, I'm not just going to be representing the undergraduates, but also the 6,000 graduate students here. So please come up and say hi and my name's Josh Ford.
Thank you. We're at this point, we need a motion to extend the meeting. Does anybody dare make such a motion? I look to Tom. Tom has made a motion to adjourn, seconded by Julian. Without objection, so ordered. Thank you.